Retool, reset. What will be the new normal on the other side of this health crisis as we try and get everyone safely back to work? We reached out to Alan Oshima, former CEO and president of Hawaiian Electric Industries, who just a week ago was tapped by the governor to lead Hawaii's Economic Recovery and Community Resiliency Plan. He tells us his new title is Economic and Community Navigator, and we are all in the canoe together.
Before you can actually restart the economy, as the governor has been saying, and others in the community have been saying, public health has to be first priority. So you can't just flip a switch. And so there's various groups working on the public health side, including with the DOH, UHERO. Dr. Mark Mugiishi is leading a group on that effort, outlining steps to be taken before you can actually reopen safely. And so that's ongoing. There's going to have to be some scenario planning because the dates keep moving depending on the results of, the coronavirus infection rates. So that's one aspect. On the other side, the state just got some of the monies for the relief funds from Congress, and we have to do some quick forward planning on how to best use those monies to recover from the COVID crisis. And there's about roughly about $900 million that we have to use by December 31. And the county of Honolulu gets about $370 or $380 additional. So all of that planning has to be done pretty quickly as well to identify programs that are related to the COVID crisis.
So as far as getting your committee together, your task force group together to be able to work out the blueprint.
I just want to clarify, there are various task forces going on in the business community, nonprofit community, food community, healthcare community. So these are all with the navigator is to try to collaborate among all of those, make sure that there's no duplication of efforts, but not to shut down any of the ongoing efforts, and maybe just make them focus with information and data on where best to put our efforts in the right priority. So as I mentioned, the $900 million that has to be used by the end of the year, that's one area of focus that we all have to come around. But I think the other part is to get more information out to everyone that Hawaii is getting, among all the other states, getting quite a bit of money in different tranches. So the airports, for example, are going to get separate funding for over $100 million. The bus gets over $100 million. There's some health care. There's nutrition programs that are getting boosts, along with the unemployment. So what we don't want to do is duplicate efforts, and we're trying to figure out who's getting what. How are they going to spend it according to the conditions imposed, and then use the $900 million in the best way possible to help programs in need and help the economy recover. That's kind of the outline. And we will have outreach from the state going into each sector rather than having them trying to reach in for info. We're organizing staff to assign to each sector so that we can have, like, customer service representatives reaching out.
As if that task wasn't, already so difficult, there's this new development about the governor, is asking for pay cuts. With that overlaid on the task of reopening the economy, I mean, how are you dealing with all that?
Yeah, so, I wasn't part of that discussion, but my understanding is that that's just one of the, I think, just transparency with some of the things that they're thinking about. But I don't think anything's been decided, Catherine. There's also information that we keep hearing, and I'm sure the governor gets it through the National Governors Association. This may not be the end of all the help that's coming into all the states. We keep hearing about another $2 trillion in with Nancy Pelosi and Trump maybe at some point reaching agreement on infrastructure. The planning right now is without all that information in hand. And so as we get more clarity, I think everyone, including the governor and others, can make some better decisions as we move on. But I think there are a lot of scenario plannings going on right now because there is no certainty on some of these things.
And as far as the non-visitor related industries, because I know folks are looking at that segment of our economy as, you know, a way to be able to jumpstart things sooner than later. But it's kind of uneven from what I understand, even like the construction industry. You know, we're on Kauai, we're seeing, you know, that they may open it up to you know, construction and landscaping, where I think there's still a lot of the construction stuff happening here on Oahu.
Correct. Right, considered essential services. And I think, you know, each island may have to continue to make their decisions. But, you know, as we reopen, the discussions are including things like, what is the new norm, right? Even if you reopen certain retail, is it going to be a social distance imposed? You know, you're already seeing, like at the pharmacy counter, you know, plexiglass shields between you and the pharmacist. I mean, those are all good things. How far will that go into every commercial establishment? And without a foundation of trust among all of us about returning to work, right? Many of our workers are now telecommuting. When they're asked to, or when they're allowed to come back into the office, are they going to feel certain that the public health aspects have been covered as they return to their desk and sitting next to a person that may not be, you know, always socially distanced? So I think the new norm has to consider all of these things as we open. It's not going to be back to what it was prior to the shutdown.
You know, I happened to go through my library and I came across the book, you know, Who Moved My Cheese?
Yeah.
And
right.
Just thinking about the change that everybody is experiencing. Yeah, their cheese has moved and boy, has it changed.
Exactly. And every one of us, I think this is a time that we all maybe have to do some introspection, right? And what is our accountability to society as a whole? And it may be the greater good of versus individuals, and some compromises have to be worked out. But yeah, it's a change. But for that other parts, though, I mean, it's going to require for us to really concentrate on things like increased infrastructure, perhaps, into broadband services, so that telecommuting, telemedicine, teleworking, teleshopping can all be accommodated on a real-time basis moving forward. Look at the absence of cars on the roadway. Are we going to become more used to that as we telecommute? And that frees up, that cleans the air, for example. So it's all tied to public policy. So, but then you have impacts on things like our supply of fossil fuels, which we're all trying to get off of, but it can't be a cliff, right? So there's a domino effect to everything that we're doing, but it's going to cause us to really look at it hard and close. And that's why our effort from our newly formed office, which, by the way, I just got a deputy, we're still organizing staff and volunteers, is to use this to get everybody's views loaded in so that everyone has a say in what are the concerns, what are the things we have to look at as we reset, because this is a reset.
You know, I recall when we had the downturn, we had all the stakeholders in the room down there at the legislature, the unions, the private sector, public sector, and it was a fascinating time and good dialogue. And yet we find ourselves, I think, in a more difficult position today.
Yeah, this one is monumental because it's not only us, it's not only the U.S., it's worldwide, right? So we really have to figure out how do we relate not only within the state but to outside the state. I think this is a good opportunity for that discussion after we pass some of the stabilization that we need to go through and everybody's basic needs are at least met and people are feeling less stressed, then we have to talk about what's in the future.
And you know, with your time with Hawaiian Electric, what are you able to use from that experience as we look forward here?
Well, first of all, disruption is everywhere. As you know, Hawaiian Electric faced a lot of disruption from technology, from customer demands, from policy, and it's really how you deal with disruption. But importantly, culture trumps everything. So you have to develop a culture of trust in order to deal with the disruption and to move forward and accept a level of risk as you go forward. It's not as it was anymore. But making that change, that transformation, is key. So now we're dealing with the entire state. I mean, we're dealing with everyone trusting government, trusting business, trusting nonprofits, trusting their neighbors. How do you develop that trusting relationship so that decisions can be made quicker, by the way, than we're used to, with everybody saying, you know, we've got to move, we've got to change. The coronavirus didn't wait for us to have all the protections in place. So we have to be nimble, we have to do forward planning, and we have to accommodate everyone's desires and needs and wants. And as I said, in the end, I don't think everybody will get what they want, but hopefully they get at least what they need to make Hawaii what we all envision. But that's a process. It's not going to happen, you know, overnight.
We have to learn how to pivot. But given that we've got to change, is there any consideration for just kind of the loss of what was normal? You know, because we kind of have to grieve and acknowledge that things are different now.
Right. But, you know, I think it takes solace in the fact that it's everyone throughout the world that's going through the same grief. You know, we're not alone. And, I mean, I think that acceptance, you know, all these stages of grief, right? So at some point you get to the acceptance stage. But we do have to acknowledge that that is a process. I agree. I'm not a psychologist or behavioral scientist. I do know that as I, you know, just you and me, Catherine, we're doing this over the phone, right? And we're so used to seeing each other's faces if you're talking. And yet we have Zoom meetings and other methods of seeing it through iPads and laptops. But it's not the same. But it is probably the new normal. And so coming to terms with that individually, I think, is what everybody's going through. And everybody's going to have a different pace of acceptance. Our job, I think, on now in the government side, is to make sure that there's some at least assurance that basic needs, future needs, are being looked at, planned, and in a rational way with all voices around the table.
I think one thing that I know our listeners find distressing is that, you know, there's so many conflicting messages out there.
In terms of...
Well...
Yeah, I mean, there are, but, I mean, there's so much going on, and I acknowledge that, but... Yeah, and even in terms of testing, for example, right, we hear there's fast testing. Well, the reality is the fast testers that I'm familiar with, that I've learned in the last few days, can only do 3 tests per hour, and that is fast, right? And others have to be sent away to mainland labs because of lack of supplies or diagnostic services in state, and what does it take to ramp that up, and how realistic is it to get mass testing? And there are other things available, like pool testing and contact tracing, to keep, you know, public health assurance. But all of that data and that kind of acceptance of new ways of doing things has got to be disseminated in a way that people can understand. There's going to be absolutely an element of testing, but then contact tracing that's effective has to be in place as well. So there's a variety of things in public health that they have to do to be able to trace, to know where there's infections or rising cases, and then being able to address it quickly. So that's a public health kind of environment. But I think as we're doing this, we're going to get better and maybe better tools to do it.
Right,
there's also the aspect, Catherine, as you know, of personal privacy. I mean, contact tracing. How far can we go, right, with tracking people, et cetera? And how many people are actually going to accept that?
As these tests become more available and we can get a better handle, we can make better decisions about what we need to do going forward.
Yeah, and there's, I assure you that there's some really good minds in the state and elsewhere who are looking at all of those public health options and models, and I think in very short order, it's already being discussed, and in very short order, I'd say in the next week or two, there'll be some proposals on what it takes to reopen. The World Health Organization already had criteria on what it takes to reopen, and the things that we're looking at in Hawaii, not myself, but all the public health experts, kind of follow the same test, right? Testing, contact tracing, ability to communicate, social distancing, all of those things really have to remain in place as we move forward until there's, you know, there's a vaccine.
That was Alan Oshima, former chief executive officer and president of Hawaiian Electric Industries. He's now been tapped to help with an economic recovery and resiliency plan for our state.